questions you always had, the answers you were never given, the place to seek the truth. Welcome to Veritas.
Tonight on the Veritas Project, we are joined by a journalist whose reports have not only traversed the world, but have also pierced through the veil of mainstream media narratives. Broadcasting directly from Moscow, Greg Reese brings us insights from a land that is often misunderstood, if not mystified, by conventional news outlets. In an era where truth often gets lost in the noise of sensationalism, Greg stands out by delivering concise, impactful journalism that challenges the status quo. His work, seen by millions, delves into the deep state, technological surveillance, and the untold stories of global significance. Tonight, we'll uncover what life in Russia is truly like, away from the glare of geopolitical dramas. We'll explore the stark realities and the daily nuances that define this powerful nation from the inside. Greg will also share the methodologies behind his investigative styles, revealing how he dissects complex narratives to present the raw truths the world needs to hear. From the challenges of reporting in a high-stakes environment to the personal risks that come with unmasking hidden agendas, we'll get a first-hand account of the courage and complexity involved in modern journalism. Stay with us as we go beyond the headlines and into the heart of stories that shape our world here on The Veritas Project. Greg Reese is coming up next. Welcome to The Veritas Project. I'm your host, Mel Hostelrich. If this is your first time listening, welcome home. To access tonight's full interview and all of our exclusive material, simply join the Veritas Plus family by clicking on the subscribe button at veritasproject.com. And while you're there, don't forget to check out the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the power of FLFE with a 15-day free trial today. No credit card required. If you're looking to get in touch with me, have a guest suggestion, or would like to provide feedback, simply click on the contact button on our website. Your thoughts and ideas are always appreciated. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's program. And directly from Moscow, Russia, I'd like to welcome Greg Reese. Hello, Greg, and welcome to Veritas. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Mel?
I am fine, and I'm so privileged that I still have you right there in Moscow, because I want you to really give us your perspective. As you know, there's a lot of propaganda here in the United States, and we can talk about what happened in 2013 with the Smith-Mundt Act, where now they're lying to us. They've been lying to us before that. But now with Russia, especially with Ukraine and all that, the boogeyman, I want you to tell us what your perspective is being there on the ground.
Well, that's why I came here. I've been doing this research for, I think, over 20 years now. And in that entire 20 years, you read a lot about Russia. And Russia seems to be a very different place than the West as far as the agenda goes. And it seems to be, I don't know, very interesting. So once the Ukraine situation kicked off, and I grew up in the Cold War era, I grew up in the 80s, never trusted my government for a second since I was a kid. And so I've always had the attitude of, if my government tells me one thing, I usually look at the other. And so I remember growing up even back then thinking, well, Russia must be pretty cool. And so once they kicked off with Ukraine and they started up this whole anti-Russia thing again, I was like, I'm not going to sit home and put up with this. And the other reason was, America was just super divided at the time, and I was very frustrated with that. So it seemed like a good time to go. So I came here to see for myself. I got here last December and early December, and it's been extraordinary. In summary, I guess what I could say, in the 6 months I've been here, what I've learned is that the Russian government isn't perfect, and I didn't expect them to be perfect. I'm certainly no government lover. In fact, I'm surprised to see how decent the government is, because growing up as an American, I always assumed all governments were the same. The government here definitely does not hate the people like in America. They The cost of living is very reasonable. Moscow is known as the city of billionaires. I think there's more billionaires here than any other city in the world. But you could be any job. You could be a towel person at the gym, and you can still afford an apartment in Moscow, and you can still buy groceries, and you can get a brand new car here for $10,000. And the healthcare is free. So they're not trying to kill the people. They did give out some shots. They were participating in that to a certain extent. So they're not perfect. I've talked to some a wise old man in the Orthodox Church, an old priest who was a military intelligence officer in the Soviet Union. And I was talking to him about the government, and he was saying, yeah, the government here still has the same traces of the evil that was there during the Bolshevik Revolution. It still has some New World Order aspects to it. So it's not perfect, but what I've learned, and this is what inspired me to leave and come back home, because I said when I decided to come here, I was very frustrated with how divided America was, because in my opinion, the only solution to our problems is to unify and to stand up against this government. And what I learned here is that it's not the government that made Russia a better place. I mean, to a certain extent it was. Putin in the early 2000s really started cleaning up all the crime, and this place is a very safe city. You don't see any homeless people. Everyone has a job. Everyone's working. Everyone can afford to live. But when they did start giving out the shots during COVID, the people were united here. The people here are extremely united here. One of the biggest misconceptions that I've learned is a lot of people say that Russians are cold and kind of in a shell until you get to know them. And then once you get to know them, then they're like the warmest, most lovingest people in the world. And I'm sure that's true. I have gotten close to a few Russians, but I don't see the coldness at all. I've fairly well traveled. I've been all over the world. The Russian people are extremely kind and warm and generous. And they are united. They have each other's back. I'm sure that's not 100%, but it's so much that you can notice it. And I talked to a lot of people that were here during the lockdowns and during the shots, and I heard the same story from everyone. The people just blew it off. They were united, blowing it off. There was a very small minority that was going along with it, but there was such a small minority that the rest were just being polite to them. Even the police had their backs. The police were wearing their masks down below their chin. No one was obeying the lockdown laws. They blew the shots off. I heard about employers were forging documents, lying that their employees got the shots when they didn't. And when the people are united like that, there is really nothing the government can do, especially with populations as large as Russia and the United States, and the government as small as it is. With a united people, they're powerless. They have no choice but to succumb to the will of the people. And so that unity and that love for each other that I've sensed here for 6 months, which is very clearly evident to me, really inspired me to go back home. And even though America is totally divided and it seems utterly hopeless, it's my country, it's they're my people, and I think everyone all over the world needs to stand by their people and bring as much unity and love as they can, because that's really the only thing that's going to change anything, in my opinion. So that's my take on my past 6 months here, basically.
By the way, I didn't know that you had been there for 6 months. When we first made contact, I thought you were there for just a few days. Half a year.
Yeah. Time flies.
So what brought you to Russia? And by the way, since you're such a good journalist, when you got there, were you questioned about your journalism prowess or?
No, I was expecting, even a lot of my friends that I would consider to be awake and aware of what's going on, even a lot of them were warning me. They're like, you're going to be detained and they're going to hassle you. And, a lot of people have a lot of misconceptions about Russia. A lot of people think it's still the Soviet Union, but I didn't know. That's why I was coming here. So I was, expecting the worst, but it was like probably how it is coming in. Well, not coming into America. America, you can just walk across the border. But here on the first time here in December, they pulled me into a room with a bunch of other people. It wasn't like a small room. It was just, it was right next to the main thing. It was standard. Asked me who I was, what I was doing here. Only looked in one of my bags. counted my cash. That was it. It was a young lady. She was polite and sweet, and that was it. I came in and have had no problem. Haven't seen any. I did see the police. The police knocked on my door at my apartment after the Crocus terrorist attack, but it was random. They were just going door to door, checking people's, you know, making sure that looking for terrorists. I came through a second time. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but I came through a second time because I had to go to Armenia in January to extend my visa. So when I came back into Russia the second time, there was nothing. Like, no one said anything to me. I just waltzed right in. I didn't know, you know, that was it. I was actually kind of blown away. So it feels here in Russia like how America used to feel when I was younger, you know, before 9/11. They're very, 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 what's the word? Their priority here is family. I did a man on the street interview. It won't be released until I get back home. It'll be a couple of weeks. But I went out on the street and talked to a bunch of random Russians, and they all had the exact same thing to say. The only question I asked them is, if you had a chance to say anything to the American people, what would you say? And there were young, old men, women, and they all said the same thing. They all said how important family is, and family is the most important thing in the world. Without family, you have no future. And, well, what's wrong with America? Why is America castrating children and destroying the family and acting as if homosexual marriage is somehow equal to a family, when they made the very obvious point? They're like, you can't have any children. You know, that's the whole point. The whole point is the continuation of humanity. And basically what they were saying is that the state is the family. That's what it should be. The state should be built upon the family foundation. I couldn't agree more. I don't know if America was ever like that, because in my lifetime it's been quite evil, but I believe it was at one point. If you were to take history, you know, as any indicator.
I don't know how old you are, but I think you and I probably similar ages. I grew up in the 80s, and I remember the propaganda as well. I remember watching Red Dawn at school, get under your desk, blah, blah, blah. And you had this hatred for the Soviets, right? And then, you know, Yeltsin came along and Perestroika came along, and things started changing. Rocky IV, I remember. That was, to me, that moment where things started changing, all the concerts that went to Russia. And then all of a sudden, Putin came along, and then things started changing in Russia. And now it's totally different. It's probably what I would like to see in the United States. As you said, yes, a country without family values is not a country. We're just descending upon this downward spiral in the United States. And I want to see Russia, when I see other journalists who go out there, you know, Tucker Carlson and others, interviewing people saying the same thing. Why do we demonize Russia so much in this part of the world?
Well, I think it's obvious. I think, you know, if you look back in history, it definitely appears as if, and a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people in America that will, and not just like crazy brainwashed people, but, you know, people I know. There are people, I think, that love the government too much, you know, because like I said, governments aren't perfect. But there are a lot of people that will say, well, you can't trust the Russians. They're very sneaky, and you can't trust Putin. He's part of it and he's in on it. And whether that's true or not, I got to say, my experience that I've had here is it doesn't matter if they are in on it or not, because if the people are united, and so the government has no power over that. But having said that, I would say it does seem like at one point Putin seemed to be on their side. He was all in their circle. Maybe he changed his mind. But shortly before 2014, I think it became clear to the West that Putin was not on their side. And I think that's what motivated the coup that was launched by the West in Ukraine. And now that Putin finally, and I say finally because that's one thing about, and I've learned that, I've talked to some people, it's difficult to talk to a lot of Russians all the time because of the language. Most people don't speak English here, but I have made some friends that speak English and have been here for a long time and know the Russian people pretty well. And one of the things I've heard is that the Russian people are very timid. They're very, they're pacifists. They're very peaceful. They're very polite. And that is why they took them so long to finally push back. Because, I mean, the West has been pushing on their borders ever since the USSR fell. And Russia really didn't go in until a couple of years ago. And even then, they gave a final warning. They're like, look, don't push into NATO and we'll back off. And of course, we didn't do that. Because, of course, what the West is trying to do is trying to, I mean, this should be fairly obvious to anyone. The West is trying to provoke Russia into reacting. They want Putin to react. They want Russia to react so that we can point our finger at Russia and be like, look at this evil Russia that we have to take down, which is ridiculous anyways, because it doesn't seem like America wants to win any war. America is attacking its own military, attacking its own people, looting all of our money and sending it overseas or in their own pockets. So it doesn't seem like they want to win a war. They want to start a war. I would argue they want to start a war just so that they can blame Russia for what they're doing to the American people. Because as an American, I can say confidently, our government is murdering us. They're looting our country. They're destroying everything. They're burning it all down. And they want a scapegoat so that they can write in the history books, you know, some foreign nation to blame it on.
But I remember years ago, Greg, I think it was 2007 or 6, when the Georgian War, do you remember that Georgian little regional war that happened in South Ossetia and Abkhazia? And Fox News was interviewing this young girl who said, no. The ones who were attacking us were the Georgians. The Russians were saving us. And they cut her off. That's when I said, wait a second. Who's the boogeyman here? Is it Georgian and all these puppets from the West? Or is it Russia?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. I just saw an interview with RFK Jr. last night where, you know, he's completely sold his soul to the Zionist movement. But in this interview, he made it clear. He was describing what's happening in Israel, and he was saying that Israel is fighting the most. He's like, they're not killing civilians. It's the most humane war ever fought in history, which is ridiculous. But the reason I mention it is because I noticed that, you know, a couple of years ago with the Ukraine, the way Russia was fighting Ukraine, that is the most humane war I've ever seen in my lifetime. And that's, you know, a lot of that's probably because I'm an American and I'm used to the way America fights wars. The way America fights wars is they start off through deceit and deception, overthrowing governments and as an excuse to get in there. And then once they get in there, they destroy all the infrastructure, killing civilians. They create as much trauma as possible in the local native civilization and then bring in their crony friends to rebuild it and pocket all the money. And then they take those angry people that are obviously angry for good reason because they had their homes destroyed, their families destroyed. And then they take those people and they put them on boats and they ship them over to the West. Say, have at it, you know? So that's what I'm used to seeing. So what I've seen Russia doing with Ukraine, and that's a humane war. There's a lot of stories like that. They're already rebuilding the areas that they fought in. Like they're as they clear the Ukrainian, I don't even want to call them Ukrainians because the Ukrainians are good people. They're a family with the Russians. They've all been subverted by the West. So these Nazis, these Western mercenaries, these CIA forces, whatever. Once Russia clears them out of an area of Ukraine, they immediately come in and start rebuilding it, not to make a killing or make a profit, just so that these families can go back to school, they can go back, the kids can go back to the playground. Because anyone you talk to here, they love the Ukrainians. They're their neighbors. They're their families. I don't think I've ever met a Russian here who didn't have a relative in Ukraine. They all have relatives there. They're very sad about this. They know exactly what's going on. They know it's not Ukraine. They know it's the United States. It's the UK. It's Germany. They know what's going on. They're very smart here.
This is really sad what's happening in Ukraine. I mean, 2014, Victoria Nuland. I mean, we know what happened there. And Russia had all the rights to defend the people on the Donbass area. But this degenerate comedian that was placed there by the West, I just don't understand. I mean, right now his term expired, but I knew he was not going to let go. So now they're operating under martial law for God knows how long. Why does the West continue to support this war? I don't think the majority of the people want it.
No, I don't know. There's a lot. I have definitely 99% questions, and I'm reluctant to even say 1% answers because I don't know what answers I have. But I'd love to have some answers. Like I said, I think if I had to choose a theory, I would say the theory is they want this war because they want to blame someone for what they're doing. They want to finish the job on America. They want to completely reshape it and destroy it And they want someone to blame on that because they got, you know, they're going to write, they're planning.
Thank you for listening. To unlock the full 2-hour interview, including video formats, downloads, transcripts, exclusive articles, and more, subscribe to Veritas Plus now. Gain access to our entire archive dating back to 2008. Just click subscribe at veritasproject.com. To listen to the rest and access all of our exclusive material, head over to the Veritas Plus member section or click the subscribe button at veritasproject.com. Don't forget to visit the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the benefits with a 15-day free trial of FLFE today. No credit card required. If you'd like to get in touch with me, be a guest on the program, have a guest suggestion, or want to provide feedback, just click the contact button on our website at veritasproject.com. Thank you for listening to The Veritas Project, because you don't want to believe, you want to know. What are you waiting for? Subscribe now at veritasproject.com.